Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. As we go through the book of 1 John chapter by chapter, verse by verse, we're actually in our fifth week in this study, but that's okay. The scripture has some wonderful things for us to know and for us to understand. First John chapter 2. Now we left off last in verse 17, but I want to start in verse 15 just to recap. It says here, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." And so here we're being warned. John tells us that we're not to be part or love the world, because it's not, if we love the world, these things are not of the Father's. He's not speaking of people, or he's speaking of a worldly system, this demonic, evil, worldly system that is set up by Satan to draw people away from God. Do not love the things of the world. There are many people who pour their whole life into the world, their business, their finances, and the things of the world. And here Scripture's telling us, don't waste your time. Do not do that. That is not of God. Why? Because this world is passing away. There'll come a time where the curtain will close. The church will be raptured away. Everything then turns to the nation of Israel. And he warns us in verse 18. And he tells us, "Little children, in these last hours, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is in the last hour." And so now there's a timeline. He's beginning to tell us, hey, look for the signs, beware, look around you. There are Antichrists that have come, and the Antichrist himself, he will come. John here, he refers to an individual who has captured the imagination of many people, including those even that know the Bible. Many are ignorant about the person called the Antichrist, except that they have learned from the movies. And we talked about last week, a lot of people don't know anything about the Antichrist other than what they've seen on television or they see in the movies. And he doesn't have a porch fic, a pitchfork. Yeah. I had to think about that. What did I just say? Thank God we have these edited for radio. That was backwards, wasn't it? And he's not dressed in a red suit. And as we spoke last week, when we speak of the Antichrist, we think of the opposite of Jesus, right? So if Jesus is good and graceful and loving and kindness, then the Antichrist is going to be just the opposite. He's going to be evil. He's going to be mean. But that's not the case, because he comes as an angel of light. And he's going to deceive many people. And the definition of anti is instead of, but it's also the opposite, but also the instead of. And so in here, it's really instead of Jesus. And most people have focused on the idea of the opposite, that he's going to be supremely evil, but he's going to be the one that people are going to turn to. And so just real quick, as we consider when he's coming, there is an exact timeline when he's coming. But things that we don't know a timeline on is why we don't know when he's coming, right? So it is after the church. We'll read that in a minute. It is after the rapture of the church. God's people is removed away. The bride of Christ is taken away to be with the groom. Then the Antichrist will be revealed. Now, there are many people who will tell you, I know who he is. Right? And I know some of those people. I got a call a couple years ago. Oh, God just revealed to me who the Antichrist is. I said, that wasn't God, that was Satan. Check the number, right? Because that was not God. Because he says that we will not know who he is. He's not revealed now. So as we talk about the horrific things that will happen in the end, listen, we won't be here. The believers in Christ will be with Christ. So why do we need to know this, Pastor? Well, there's a timeline. There's things that are going to be happening. And the more we know, the more we understand, the less we can be deceived, because there's little antichrists. There are many antichrists that are out there now. They show up sometimes at the pulpit in various types of churches. And they begin to diminish the scriptures. Well, can we really know what truth is? Nobody really knows what the truth is, right? So let's just be good and love on other people. It's called the emergent church. They don't believe that we can know truth. And so what they do is they said, well, God says, if you know, have you fed me when I was hungry? Did you come visit me? So let's go feed people and visit everybody, and then we'll be good with God. And yet, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way to the Father except through me. I do not lie, Paul says. These things that I tell you, he says in Romans as he's speaking about the brethren. I'm so sorrowful for you, the brethren of Christ. You have missed the Messiah, the Yeshua, the one who was to come. You've missed it, even you in your day. And when Jesus comes in Palm Sunday and they hail him Messiah, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Jesus wept. Because they didn't know who he was. They thought he was riding in as a warrior going to take over Rome and build this new kingdom, and yet they still didn't understand who he was. They fulfilled Scripture, but they didn't understand. They didn't know. Some have wondered if the Antichrist will be an individual or a political system, and the reality is he'll probably be both. He will be a person in a governmental system. You see, there's going to be wars and rumors of war. There's going to be a lot of things that are happening. Now, are we going to be here for all of the beginning of that? I'm not sure. We won't be here for the tribulation period or after the Antichrist is revealed. So we have to be removed. However, he's going to come in as a peacemaker. So that means there's corruption. There's all kinds of things happening. There's wars happening. And he's going to come in and make peace. Most likely this will all be in the Middle East. He'll be the peacemaker. And he'll deceive. And there'll be a delusion to follow this guy. Now, I don't care what your political party is, and this isn't a political statement, this is just an illustration. President Obama was a nobody who rose to the political party of the President of the United States. He was a junior senator. He had only been there for a little while. He did absolutely nothing, and he was raised up to a tremendous position. Now, God allowed that, and I'm not saying that God wasn't in that. But I'm using him as an example for everybody to look at a nobody who stepped up to be in a powerful position. So this is what's going to happen. He's going to step up. He's going to have this power, and he's going to have power to do miracles. He's going to have power to do miracles. And so there may be a crippled person. He may heal that person right before your eyes. Oh, look at this. But don't be fooled. Now, I'm saying this for those who don't believe now, who will be here for that time. Hopefully you're not in this church. But the church will be raptured before that. Now, we speak in end times, there'll be the one world order, one world religion. Now, what religion will that be? Well, we don't know. There's two religions that will not change. What are they? Christianity and Islam. Now some of you may say, well, it's Jews. No, the Jews are going to follow the Antichrist. He is going to be their Savior. Jesus says, I come in my Father's name and you've rejected me, but there will be a man who comes in his own name, and him you will receive. And so as we continue on, to a large extent, a man does represent a personify an entire government or a system. So we think of Germany in the 1930s and the 40s, and the figure was Hitler as an individual, and the Nazi Germany as the state, virtually the same thing, right? Nazi Germany and Hitler were the same thing, run by the person, operated in the governmental capacity. But what's interesting about it, in 1934, if you've ever read Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a pastor who was killed by Hitler, he was one who stood for the Christian church, the Christian faith, when all his friends that he went to seminary with and taught him and mentored him, they began to go by the wayside. And in 1934, to a great extent, most of the Christian churches rejected Jesus Christ as the head of the church, and they hailed Hitler as the head of the church. And they turned against Bonhoeffer and those who stood for the faith. So he says in the end times, there are going to be people who are not going to stand for sound doctrine, but they're going to raise up leaders that are going to tickle the ears of the people. We have them today. There are churches that you can go into and listen to a sermon, and you could be in that church for 30 years and you'll never know about Jesus Christ. They'll continue to tell you how good you're going to be and how God's about to do something in your life and you're going to overcome and he's going to get you out of debt and he's going to do all these things in your life. Paul says, I am glad I've given the whole counsel of God. And so it's important for us to know why. Well, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, please. Or actually, yeah, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, I'll read as you get there. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. The term falling asleep means those who have passed. Lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. Now Paul is saying, I don't want you to be ignorant, I want you to be wise. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now for this we say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, there are those that would say that that trumpet blast is the trumpet, the last trumpet in the tribulation, and that's where God's going to call us up. It's not the same trumpet. And Jesus is not touching down at that point. He is in the air, in the clouds, where he calls the body of Christ. And there are some that would talk about the doctrine that we have a soul sleep, that we die and we sleep, and then he's going to call us up. But if you read this text, it says that in verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive will remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those. Let me go back a verse because I missed what I was going to say. Okay. Okay, verse 14, he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And so when there's a shout and he appears in the clouds, we are brought up in a twinkling of an eye, will we be changed? And those bodies that were left here will be changed as well. Jesus, it says right there, will bring those who have already died in Christ. Where are they? They're with him. And he's bringing with them as we meet together in the clouds to be with him forever. Jesus says to the thief on the cross, this day will you will be with me in paradise. And so to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so when we die, we're in the presence of the Lord. So when we're speaking of the rapture could come right now. It is going to be as of a twinkling of an eye. That quick that we are changed in the presence of the Lord. We're not even going to know it. Boom, we're there. And what a great thing that's going to be. But those who have already died are with God in heaven, and it says Jesus will bring them with him. We read that in verse 14. And so we'll be captured together with him in the clouds, that we would be with him forever. Now turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll start reading. Now brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, speaking of that, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Why is he telling us this? Because there are going to be many people who are going to be deceived, who are going to be shaken, who are going to be worried, who are not going to know and not going to understand. Why? They haven't read the scriptures, or they haven't believed the scriptures of God. But he's telling us and he's encouraging us, hey, don't be shaken. Don't, whatever. It's not it, right? Let no one deceive you, he says again in verse 3, by any means, that the day will come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. The mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken away. What is he speaking of? He's speaking of the Spirit of God as restraining all things right now. And it's not until the restraining of God's Spirit is taken away that all these things begin to happen. So where is the Spirit of God? Is he in this temple back here? No, you are the temple of God. And so when you are taken away, so in chapter 1, he tells us what's going to happen. And now in chapter 2, he tells us why it's going to happen. Because the Spirit of God that dwells in you is going to be raptured away. Then the lawless one, verse 8, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is in according to the work of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them, listen, a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Listen, there's going to be a time where you cannot be saved. People cannot be saved. Where do you see that in Scripture, Pastor? Well, if you tune into the radio tonight in Romans chapter 1, we're going to talk about it. He says he gave them over. He gave them over and he gave them up to a depraved mind. Why? They continued to reject and reject and reject. And there's going to come a time God's going to say, all right, that was your last chance. And so they will not be able to believe. And they'll be turned over to the depraved and delusion that God allows. And so it's important for us as believers to have a background and have an understanding. Even today, if the politician meets our needs and our desires, man throws away morality to the wind. We're looking at putting absolute liars in office. Isn't it crazy? There was a time where politicians, not in my generation, but in my mom's generation, where politicians would want to come in the church and tell you who they are, what they are, and here's my record. They want nothing to do with us now. You see things happening? You see things slipping away? Listen, we've taken Christ out of the schools, and if the parents are not teaching it at home, all they're getting is that little bit of an hour at church here, and the women are doing a fantastic job teaching Scripture to these young little kids over here. But if that's all they're getting, so when Satan shows up, and it could be in the picture of a teacher or a student, and tells them a lie, they may believe it. There are many teenagers who graduate high school and go to these socialist college, I must say, and they become anti-Christ. They become atheists and no longer believe. What happened? And so this is why this is important, that we gather together as one in Christ in unity. Unity in Jesus, right? And be wise to understand what's going to happen. Now we see the puppet politicians as puppets in the hand of Satan on television today. We see this. Islam is a peaceful religion. No, it's not. Read the Quran and it says what it says and it means what it means. Oh, they're Islam is a good people. No, it is an anti-Christ religion. Anti. So those who are not educated, those who don't know, believe this lie. And here Paul tells us, I don't want you to be ignorant, I want you to be wise, I want you to understand. Listen, Pastor, I got a lot of stuff going on in my life right now, and I really didn't want to hear this morning. But God has this message for you because he wants you to mature in your faith. Because we don't know what tomorrow looks like. If the whole stock market crashes tomorrow, and China blips our electrical internet system, what would you do? Who would you turn to? Right? We're seeing little things happen at the airport. One airport goes out, the whole nation, the whole world's airport system is crumbling. Are we putting our trust in man? Are we putting our trust in our military and our presidents? Listen, the next president is not the answer for the country. Jesus Christ is the answer for the country. And there is an antichrist spirit in America out there today. Our president said that this is not a Christian nation. He said those words. God forgive him. Because the nation was founded so that we can worship Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you didn't choose to worship Jesus Christ, go ahead and worship whoever you want. But the nation was founded for that reason. To get away from the tyranny that was happening in England. From the governmental church, just like in Nazi Germany. The government ran the church and they dictated what happened. That's happening today. So the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come. There is a distinction between Antichrist and many Antichrists, plural. It is a spirit of the Antichrist, and the spirit of the Antichrists will one day find the ultimate fulfillment in the one Antichrist who will be led and lead humanity in an end times rebellion against God. That is his ultimate purpose, is a rebellion against God, and people are going to follow him. Gusick says, in other words, though the world still waits to see this ultimate revealing of the Antichrist, they are little previews of this man and his mission to come. And these are the Antichrist with a little a, right? So the last part of verse 18, by which we know, back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, by which we know that it is the last hour. And so there is a, you know, when John wrote this, there was no nation of Israel. It had been destroyed already. It was gone. They had been dispersed. So when John was writing this, he didn't understand how the nation of Israel, what's going to happen when it speaks of the end time things. He didn't know. So could the rapture happen at that time? No, because there was no nation of Israel. There was no nation to turn back to. There was a fulfillment that happened in our lifetime, 1948. The state of Israel became a nation. Now, absolutely nothing else has to happen before the rapture of the church, right? Because once the church is raptured, we're not replacement theology. The Christians did not replace the Jew. They have been blinded for a season so that the Gentiles could come to the saving grace of God. And so when the last Gentile comes to the saving grace of the Lord, then the church is raptured. It is the Greek term used is harpazo, means a snatching away and a twinkling of an eye. Then everything turns back to the Jew. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And what's interesting about it, listen, God has calculated in his plan to save the world, you and I. The Great Commission was to go and make followers, go and make disciples of me. And you may say, well, Pastor, I'm pretty busy to make disciples. Bring them to church. Just bring them to church. Because that's what we're called to do, to make followers of Christ. All of us have relatives, friends, and neighbors that are going to perish in hell. What did we do to save them? How much did we reach out to them and encourage them? Now listen, I have relatives and friends and neighbors that have said, get lost. I'm not interested. Okay? Is that going to deter me to continue on with that? Of course not. We're going to continue to make disciples. So I saw this bumper sticker once that it was an escalator going up, and there was a stick figure going up, and there was clouds. And then below it was a stick figure on an escalator going down to fire. And there was a caption of the one going down to fire looking up at the one going up to the clouds. It says, why didn't you tell me? Wow. Kind of convicting, isn't it? I certainly wouldn't want my kids to leave my house and be talked into not believing in Jesus Christ, that the things of Scripture are just written by man and we can't know the truth, and those are old fables and tales that people wrote. I would hate to see them leave my house because I didn't put the time and effort into their lives to tell them the truth, and not only to tell them the truth, but to show them the truth by the example of my life. Now, I know some of you are older now, and you weren't a Christian when, you know, your kids were younger. You may say, well, they're out of my house now. They're out of your house, but you still can be an example by your actions. They can still see your life and say, you know what? They were right. Every time something happens in my life, my mother and my father are so calm and collected when they talk to me. Now, I know some of you are getting convicted here. But you can change. You can be different. You don't have to be that old person that you used to be. Matter of fact, God wants something new in you. That's why he took your old spirit out and he put the new one in. And that's why we're born again afresh in Christ, living in the same fallen world, but everything about our spirit is new. And there's a battle going on. Satan doesn't want us to believe. He doesn't want us to walk in faith. He doesn't want us to come to church and fellowship. He doesn't want us to love God. He's going to make us so busy that we don't have time to read the Bible. Or when we read it, we're distracted. And you know what? God knows that. God's not mad at you. Romans chapter 5, I have peace with my Maker. I have access to His throne. He has clothed me in righteousness. And you know what? God knew we couldn't live this by ourselves. That's why He says, I must go to the Father. And if I go to the Father, I'm going to send you the Helper. And that's the Holy Spirit. And for all the believers, the Holy Spirit dwells to encourage us when we're distracted, encourage us when we're down, to help us. And God's not there to laugh at us every time we fall and we step out in faith and it doesn't work. It's kind of like the father when his little child begins to walk and the kid gets up and he's stumbling and the kid falls. The father says, look at you. I knew you couldn't do it. Is that what a father would do? No. Father's going to, come on. Let me help you. Pick him up. That was great. We'll do it again. That's what your Heavenly Father's relationship with you is. It's one of encouragement, one of love. And no matter how bad you fail, you're still his child. He's still going to embrace you. He's still going to hold you tight. No matter what you have done, he's going to still hold you. My two sons are my two sons. They will never not be my two sons. You will never not be a child of God if you are truly born again. Now, that doesn't mean just because you show up here each week that you're born again. It happens with you and the Lord. It's a personal thing. Is it a personal relationship with you and the Lord? And he wants us to be wise. Because there are some things that are going to happen when, I don't know, might not be in my lifetime. Each generation says it's the end times, but really, we're in the end times because we see the nation of Israel, which is a big part of the end time events, okay? So, again, verse 18, we're in the last hour, so there'll be false, many of the people who offer a false substitute Christ is evidence of the hour before Jesus is coming. So he speaks of the apostasy of the church will happen, presenting false doctrines, false truths, false Christ. That's the apostasy of the church. When is that going to happen? It already has happened. We see denominations, mainline denominations that started with God-fearing men falling away from the faith and doing as the world does. And it's okay for same-sex marriages, it's okay for this and that, because, you know, the world has changed and the Bible has to change with the world. No, it's not going to change. The Word of God stands forever. It is permanent, right? And so the apostasy of the church has happened. We're living in that the end time events, and he's telling us to beware, to be wise. Now, I mentioned the kids, right? We've taken Christ out of the school, and, you know, and I understand they're single mothers and, you know, working and supporting the family and are very busy, and sometimes it's very hard for them to sit down and do a quiet Bible study, especially when the kids are little. But there's a TV program out on Monday nights. I haven't watched it. Do not watch it, please. But it's called Lucifer. Have you seen The Coming Attractions? It's called Lucifer. And the plot and the theme is that the devil is tired of hell. So he manifests himself into a man and he goes to the city of angels, which is Los Angeles. And while he's there, this is what he's going to do now. He's going to help the police catch the bad guys and help them punish the evildoers, right? So as long as this lie is out there on television and people are watching it, when the end time events come and you're going to say to them, this is an antichrist, this is Satan operating in the flesh, they're going to laugh at you. No, he's a good guy. He helps the police. And you may say, that's ridiculous, Pastor. Is it really? Is it really ridiculous? It's not. It's part of the delusion because it's happening here today. The more we see something, the more desensitized we become to the sins that God says stay away from these things. Right? Everything has changed. Now you, those who are older, my parents or my grandparents' age, it doesn't even look like the same world, does it? We were watching, Leave It to Beaver, and it was very peaceful. Now everything you watch is violent today. You can't go to a movie and not see death and very many acts of sin, right? And it's the norm now. We're desensitized to this. So this is what's going to happen. And people are going to accept the false doctrines. This church, man, this church is booming over here. They must be doing it right, right? Really? I've given the statistics that there's like 7 point something billion people in the world, and there's like 2.1 billion that profess to be Christians. That doesn't mean they're born again, but let's just take the numbers, right? So there's like 7.4 billion people, 2.1 billion people say they're Christian. That means that a lot of people, 4 point something billion people, are going to go to hell. Depending on what the numbers are, right? That's just today. That's not when time began, when God created people. So think about all that many people, because he says, "Was wide is the path and broad is the road, and many go by it that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path and difficult is the way, and few find it." Now I take no responsibility for my salvation. It is the grace of God. And I'm so humbled that he saved me. And I'm so humbled that he would continue to pour his grace and mercy on me. Because I can look at other people and say, yeah, I can see God saving you, man. You're good. But me, I'm not so much. And so I think all of us have to fall to our knees to God and thank him for his grace and his mercy that he pours out on us in spite of ourselves. And sometimes it's difficult. And that's why he tells us to pick up your cross daily and follow me. It's a daily event. Why? Well, because we have to. And what does he say when I pick up my cross? A cross is a picture of what? We wear it as jewelry, but it's kind of like an electric chair that we're hanging on our, it's for death, right? So what is he saying? He's saying, die to self daily and follow me. See, if you're dead to yourself, then you're alive in Christ and you're looking to the Lord, and then he's able to use you. But if you got you on your mind, sometimes it's difficult, right? If I'm praying to God and walking in the Spirit with the Lord, then I'll have discernment. Hey, wait a minute, this person, I can see in her face, there's an issue, let's talk. I can be more effective. And so, you may have counted yourself out, but God hasn't counted you out. Satan may have told you, if he only knew. But God knows, and yet he says, I so loved you, I sent my son and died for you. And Jesus says, listen, you trust in God, trust also me. In my Father's house are many rooms, many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. But I go there to prepare a place for you, so that if I go there to prepare a place for you, I will come back and to receive you unto myself. And that's a picture of the Jewish wedding. And the church today is not the brethren. The brethren is the nation of Israel. The church today is the bride of Christ. That's why he gives the illustration of the Jewish wedding. So Jesus has gone to his Father's house to prepare a place for us. And so when he comes back in the Jewish wedding, they were waiting and anticipating for the groom to come back for the bride. And when they saw him come, and they would blow the trumpets and shout, "Hey, he's coming, get ready." And that's why Jesus says that he's going to come in the clouds with the shout of the archangel, and the trumpet would blow, and those who are in Christ will be brought up to him. So we have a lot to hope for. There is a hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's a substance. Jesus is real. He appeared to the disciples, and he says, "Thomas, put your fingers in my hands and your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe." How much more does God have to show you that he's real in your life? How many answers has he prayed? How many prayers has he answered as you reached out to him? "Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, I'm late, Lord, give me a parking spot." Boom. Now, he's not the God of parking spots, but that happens to me quite often, I must say. "Lord, help me, I'm late. Man, there's parking spots right there. Thank you, Lord." Are you thanking him for everything? I'm sure you are. We have to finish this chapter, I'm just saying. We might go to 6 weeks. Think about it. Satan's a liar. And he's going to say, "You know, that church doesn't do this right. They don't do this right. Here, go to this church. All right, we'll go to that church." Satan's going to say, "Ah, this isn't cutting it either. Hey, go over to this church. Hey, that's not cutting it either." And what you've become is an unshepherded sheep. And Scripture says that he that is planted in the house of the Lord will flourish and grow. And so if God has called you to be at this church, you better be here, because this is where the Lord wants you. And if he's called you to go somewhere else, then get out of here. This is not the place for you. Right? So we want to be where the Lord would have us go. Satan's going to lie to us and say, "You know what? I'm not sure about this stuff. This church is just all about the Bible. I want to hear some good stuff." Listen, Judas walked with Jesus. He was one of the disciples. He had the best pastor, the best teacher, the best leader, and the wisest friend, and yet he still failed. Why? His heart was wrong, right? His heart was selfish. It was about himself. He wanted the money. He wanted the prestige. He wanted the position. When he found he didn't get it, he walked away. Don't let Satan talk you out of what God has given you. And what has he given you? Eternal life. Now, Satan can't take it from you. But you could be a Christian, listen, and live a miserable life. You know them? They're out there. I hope you're not one of them. You could be miserable because Satan's telling you, "Look at your situation. Look at your life. Look at what's happening around you." And you'll start to believe that that's going to be forever, and it's not going to be forever. And Satan's going to deceive you because he is the father of lies and tell you to give up and stop and don't continue. And Jesus says, "I knew you before you were even born. Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you and created you." So no matter what you've done, he's the one who's created you. And he says, "I want you to be with me forever. But your sin has separated you from me. And the wages of that sin is death. So I'm going to come down to earth and I'm going to die for you because I made you to be with me forever. And so I'm going to pay that penalty for you. And I'm going to the Father's house and I'm coming back for you." What promises we have. This is amazing. So if Jesus comes today, praise the Lord. If he comes tomorrow, praise the Lord. But we're living a life in the Spirit, so our mind is set upon the things of heaven, right? And so we're anticipating his coming. He's coming, right? Scripture tells us he's coming. Beware, be ready. Beware of Satan's lies and rejoice in God's promises. So if we know he's coming, we got a lot of work to do, don't we? We've got a lot of work to do. Now, I've said it several times to invite somebody to the church. We're doing the work. All you got to do is bring them, right? Our radio station is to teach exegetical scriptures so that people can listen and learn who are not in the church. Or if in their church, they can listen. Support that. Be a part of that. The church is under attack all the time. But rejoice, God's on our side. So you may feel that too. I'm under attack all the time. Rejoice, God is on your side. Here's what happens when you're under attack. You become stronger. Your faith becomes stronger. You begin to look at the Lord. Right? When Isaiah was told to go to the river and the stream and drink from the stream and the birds, the ravens are going to bring you food. Remember the story? The king was after him, going to kill him because he proclaimed a drought. So when the stream was flowing, everything was great, but the stream dried up. So we might be in the middle of God's will. Everything's going great. The stream is flowing, and all of a sudden it dries up. What do we do? Well, who allowed it to dry up? Same one who filled it. God did, right? So God doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, that's all I got for you, right? No, he says, no, go to this place. He tells Isaiah, go to this place. Or Elijah, go to this place, and there'll be a woman there, and you'll be taken care of. Don't worry about it. So don't live in the, we live in the here and now, but our minds are in the heavenly places. And so when we find ourselves in a situation of life, this will pass too. God is going to get us through it. Listen, we got to be strong in the Lord. Metal is not strong until it's forged in the fire. When it's forged in the fire, then it can be used for what its intended purpose is. If a hammer is not forged in the fire, then we can hit it with something, it's going to bend, it's useless. But if it's gone through that fire, it's gone through that burning, if we find ourselves in difficult times and we stand firm in Christ, and He's with us, He's our power and our source. We can't do it by ourselves. Then we are going to come out of that stronger for the Lord. Amen? Father, thank you for your word this morning. And we're just so excited about you. And it's my prayer, Lord, that the rain would stop now so we could leave without getting wet. But Father, thank you for pouring the rain out, not only physically, but spiritually upon us, Lord. You are the living water. And let us continue to drink from the living well, Father, that we would glorify you in all that we do. And we ask this in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.